Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1 is where I want to draw your attention to today. I'm going to read this scripture and then we're going to talk about some things. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1. The KJV, I believe that's what's up on the screen, right? KJV says it this way: Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. In the New Living Translation, it says it this way: this letter is from Paul, an apostle, period. I was not appointed by any group of people or any human authority, but by Jesus Christ himself and by God the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. I oftentimes mention, and you hear this a lot, the idea that we live in a society that is ran and controlled by humanity. So we exist in that society, but we also exist in a spiritual realm. And the difficulty that sometimes is presented to us as children of God difficulty that the writer of the New Testament stated when he said we are in the world but not of it. That's a difficult proposition to live and rub shoulders and to operate in a system, but yet do your best to not let that system infiltrate the other system that we live in. That is the kingdom of God. Everybody say the kingdom of God. I you may hear me use that word system today. I don't like that word. It's the kingdom. I may slip and say that, but we're a part of the kingdom of God. We're a part of kingdom work. We're kingdom individuals today. And so this difficulty exists. It's a reality of us crossing over between our humanity, the society that we live in, and our involvement in the kingdom of God. And this is why we talked about this a few Wednesday nights ago with regard to the carnal mind. If you were here, you remember that. This is why it's so difficult at times for people to involve themselves in what I'll call spirit ministry. Because so much of what we do in our humanity on a day-to-day basis, or what we do, can become wrapped up in our humanity. And then someone sticks a mic in our hand and says, operate in the spirit. Or puts us in front of or across from somebody at a table somewhere in a living room or at a coffee shop and says, operate in the spirit and teach them a home Bible study. And too many times it becomes easy to operate from a place of our understanding. Such is the case in the situation that we read in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1 here. In the society, we live in a democratic society today, thank God. And in a democratic society, everybody gets a voice. Everybody has a choice. We're currently coming up on election time, and there's more things on your Washington State ballot that you received in the mail than you can begin to even understand. Ballot measures and names and people, and it takes hours just to sit down and inform yourself of all these things. But this is our right in a democracy. We get to choose. I get to choose who's going to represent me in my county, and I get to choose who gets to represent me in the city that I live in, and the council member that gets to represent me in my district that I live in. And I get a choice. I get a say in that. I get to pick that individual, and I get to, you know, fill their name in and fill that circle in, or whatever it is that we do, or go to a machine and select it computerized. We get a choice in that. Do you understand today that the kingdom of God is not a democratic system? The kingdom of God today is not a democratic system. I when I think about this in relationship to our world today, this is the struggle that we have, because we're programmed with regard to choices. We all get a choice. You know, I chose what I ate for breakfast this morning. I chose what I wore today. I went to my closet and I made a choice, just like you did, Sister Malik. You chose. You chose whether you were going to walk or drive, and you chose to drive, didn't you? You did. I can pick on her because she lives the closest. She chose to drive. I chose to drive. I could have rode my bike today. I could have walked. But we make all these choices on a day-to-day basis. Now, I don't give my kids a lot of choices. I say, here's oatmeal this morning for breakfast, and this is what you get. Well, I don't like oatmeal. Well, you're going to eat oatmeal anyway, because that's what's for breakfast. We don't give them a lot of choices young in life. Why? Because we're starting to try to train them and teach them what's good for them, what's right for them. If it's up to them, they'd have candy every morning for breakfast. We had some chocolate chip cookies laying around the house that my wife had made for my birthday. They were around, you know, like Thursday night, Friday, Saturday. And that's all the kids wanted for breakfast. You know, if it's left up to them, that's the choice they make. And so we get programmed in our lives that we get a choice. I have a decision. Now, this is my decision. You know, I get to choose. I hear people say this, not often, but every now and then I run across somebody who with much spiritual pride will stand up and say, you know, I chose to start following Jesus. Or, you know, I found the Lord. No, he found me. He chose me. The fact that I'm here today, you see, I get zero choice in my existence today. I do. I have zero control over my existence on planet Earth today. I have zero control over that. He can choose at any single moment in time to end my life here on this earth, and I can do nothing about it. I was having a conversation with a man the other day who was facing a difficult situation. He was on the verge. He was being told by doctors that he had less than 5 months to live. And he made the statement that he left the doctor's office and was driving down the highway, and he's dealing with all these thoughts. And this dump truck passed him going the other way that was loaded with like some like 2 and 3 inch riprap rock. And one of those rocks came off that truck and went through his windshield and embedded itself in the passenger side seat, almost went through the passenger side seat. He says, here I am. I'm a few miles from my doctor where I've been told I got less than 5 months to live. And it was like the Lord reminded me, this is his words, it was like the Lord reminded me, if I want to take you, I'm going to take you. Get over yourself. This is an interaction we're having with each other. I don't have any decision or choice over my existence on this earth. That's right. But boy, do I sure live like I do. Well, this is what I'm going to do, and this is my plan, and this is how I want to live. And so you have our dear brother Paul, who if you got to read all the Pauline epistles to understand sometimes his approach. Because there's a lot of things going on in the New Testament church. When you go back to Corinthians, he spends a decent portion of 1st and 2nd Corinthians helping those who wanted to assign themselves to elders in the church. He writes to them and says, some of you say, well, I'm of Apollos. And others of you say, well, I'm of Paul. And others of you say, well, I'm of this one, and I'm of that one, and you want to associate yourselves. You think, can I break it down for you? You think that you have a choice in who you spiritually report to. Oh, I know, we're going to get deep. He said, I thank God that I didn't baptize any of you. This is the position that he's now writing to the church in the book of Galatians about. And he starts off by declaring who he is. First of all, he is comfortable. He's positive in his identity in Christ. I am Paul, and I am an apostle. Well, there you got all this question mark about who's in charge, who the spiritual authority is in the church, and all of his writings, and he's just sitting back in prison writing these letters. And even from in his place of question in his own mind, he says, here's what I know. I'm an apostle. But man didn't make me an apostle. Man, forgive me here, I'm going to take all the chains off, okay? Man didn't vote me into my apostleship. Man didn't appoint me to my apostleship. But he said, I am an apostle by the authority of Jesus Christ. And what I propose to you this morning is that when you are appointed and gifted something by the authority of Jesus Christ, that is not an appointment by choice. I didn't choose what he gifted me in today. I didn't choose to be in the to have the giftings that I have today. I didn't pick those out. My parents didn't hand me a list and say, here you go, Nick. Here's a list of things that you can do in life. Pick what you want to do. No, I wanted to be involved in music. In fact, I was registered to go to Bible school to be a music major. I was going to major in music. I was going to study in music. I knew that going into my senior year of high school. That was what I wanted to do. And there was this little thing called, and this is going to sound silly, there's this little thing called ACT Student Convention. Some of you have been to them. And I looked at the things you could enter in. I said, I think I want to preach at ACT Student Convention. That's what I want to do. And so I entered into ACT Student Convention, and I preached. And I did my little thing, and there was somebody there. I want to say it was maybe Barry Claiborne or somebody like that. But he came to me afterwards, and he said, young man, there's an anointing of God on your life. There's a calling of God on your life. That doesn't have anything to do with what you think it does. I was devastated. Because I thought, I'm registered for school. I thought I got it figured out. We're now just literally months away. This is like in April or May, and I'm leaving for school in August. And I show up to school, and I got to tell the music majors there waiting for me, Sister Scott. She's there waiting on me. She's got my little test because you got to get an entry test to find out how smart you are and where she can place you out in the class with regard to music. And I get there and I open up my little mailbox and my little music test is there with my little pencil. And I'm supposed to go to this room and take this test. And I picked that test up out of that mailbox and I went marching down to Sister Scott's office and I said, I don't need this anymore. And she said, why? I said, because I'm not majoring in music anymore. That wasn't my choice. I didn't pick this in life. The Holy Ghost did. I didn't get to pick what giftings I got. The Holy Ghost did. And I could no more pick things that I want to be gifted in life than I can tell you or force you or gift you about what you're supposed to do in life. You've got to know beyond a shadow of a doubt what the Holy Ghost has called you to do, what he's gifted you to do, and what part you play in the kingdom of God. Because I can't, you know, there's some people out there, religions, organizations, you know, they put a robe on you. You got the robe on, you're a preacher now. I can't put a robe on you. I can't sprinkle you with enough oil. I can't get a ram's horn oil and pour it over you. Just go look at the selection process of David. He wasn't man's choice. He was the Holy Ghost's choice. God chose him. God anointed him through an individual, but he was God's choice. You know, I can talk about her today because she's downstairs. She gets highly embarrassed when I talk about her teaching. Hadley didn't get a choice in, number one, the home she was born into, the congregation that she was born into. The Lord is a part of all this. But she runs around at home leading worship in the front room, having holding church services. Now her and Parker do it together. He runs the aisles, she leads worship. She didn't choose that. I didn't force that on her. The Holy Ghost gifted her in that. You know, people say sometimes, not here, around the world, well, you know, I didn't get picked because I'm not so-and-so's son. Or so-and-so's daughter. And I didn't get chosen because my dad wasn't a preacher. Do you realize that he gifts whom he wills with whatever gifting he chooses? And he places as he wills in the body of Christ those giftings. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I didn't choose where I went. The Holy Ghost chose for me. I didn't choose where I should. The Holy Ghost chose for me. But he equips, he gifts, and then the rest is up to me. You see, there are giftings all across this room, and I can acknowledge those giftings. I can even give place to those giftings. And people can say, oh, well, you're favoring so and so. I'm simply giving place to a gifting. I can't come to you and say, you know, well, I mean, I could if the Holy Ghost let me, but I can't come to you and say, Sister Gould, God has gifted you for this and this and this. From this day forward, this is what you're going to do. I could if the Holy Ghost let me. But what I can't do, what I do have, what God does allow me to do from time to time is to recognize giftings on individuals and then give place to that gifting. Usually that comes in the form of, hey, I want you to take a few minutes tonight. And then that person now has that's their opportunity to operate in their gifting. God's gifting. That wasn't my choosing. There'd be times I'm driving down the road. I'm coming here to church on Sunday or on Wednesday night, and the Holy Ghost speaks to me and says, you need to call on so-and-so tonight. All right. That's all. That's my place. That's all I can do, Brother Chamberlain, is obey the Holy Ghost and give place for that individual to operate in their gifting. And the rest of the responsibility is up to you. You either acknowledge that and say, I acknowledge that the Lord operated through me tonight in this capacity. Or we reject it and stand by the sideline and say, well, you know, I'm not ready yet. Or I'm not sure, I'm not positive. But Paul here, he goes on. We're not finished yet with all this. He goes on here. If you jump ahead to verse 14, and I'm still in the New Living Translation. He says, I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the traditions of my ancestors. He's continuing to talk to these guys. He's laying a foundation of, first of all, I'm here, not by any group of people or human authority, but because God himself appointed me. And he's saying, I was far ahead. I far excelled all of my peers when it came to persecuting Christians and being zealous for Jewish traditions. I was better than anybody else. I was far more talented in that. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Do you believe that today? That before, this doesn't have, see, we get all caught up in present day. Well, you know, my life today in this situation now and this. Before you were even born, he chose you and called you. He separated you out. He gifted you. Amen. For what it is that you're supposed to be doing today. Paul understood that. I mean, this was revelatory to him. He said, then it pleased him to reveal his son to me that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. When this happened, I did not rush out to consult with any human being. I was in a discussion a few months ago about the idea of trying to encourage young people, teenagers, to accept the call of God on their lives. And this idea that you know, we need to encourage kids, you know, let kids know, get them in the communication with us, get them in an environment where there can be a call, and then we're going to encourage that call. And I theoretically, I agree with the communication. But when I read these scriptures, Paul's saying, the Holy Ghost appointed me. I wasn't chosen by human authority. I wasn't given this authority by human authority. The Holy Ghost gave it to me. And I was chosen before I was even born. I was called by God. I was separated out to do this before I was even in my mother's womb. Or even came out of my mother's womb. And when this happened to me, I didn't go consult with the human authority. What do you think? It became obvious wherever Paul went and ministered that there was an authority and apostleship upon his life.
Right.
If you're waiting for somebody to affirm your gifting or affirm your calling in your life, you need to find a place in the Holy Ghost. And when given opportunity, when God gives you opportunity, you need to let the Holy Ghost flow through you and affirm to you your place, your gifting in the body of Christ, because he will. I'm telling you, I could look at any one of you and say, God's called you, God's chosen you, he's gifted you. Yeah, but man, I'm telling you, that pales in comparison to the moment when God uses you in your gifting and the Holy Ghost and the authority. You feel the authority of God come upon you and you begin to speak out. The utterance of God begins to flow through your mouth. There comes no question in your mind that I am gifted, I am called, I am chosen for this hour. I'll tell you that there's people that I know personally whom others have told, you're called of God. They've never been used in the capacity that we're talking about today in their entire lives. But I worry sometimes that we've promoted this idea of, you know, this calling. You're called of God. Well, yes, I'm called of God. He called me. Peter says, I think it's 1 Peter 2:9, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Paul was gifted to be an apostle while he was persecuting Christians. But we get this idea in our head that we're waiting for this magnificent moment where I don't know where, how, when, or, you know, whatever that we're going to hear.
Nick, come hither thou.
I have hereby, by the authority in the King James Version of the Bible, by Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. Every person sitting on these chairs right now is gifted in some form or fashion. You were chosen when he formed you in your mother's womb, you were chosen, you were gifted for a specific purpose. And I'm telling you, if you don't know what that purpose is, if you don't know what that gifting is, then you need to talk to the Lord before you leave here today and ask him to begin to show you what that gifting is, what your place is. He will. He gave it to you. He knows what it is. And he doesn't intend to keep it hidden from you. He's not back here saying, let's see how long I can keep this from Nick. No. From the foundation of the world. I was thinking about the verse earlier this week that, what's it say, the foundation of the Lord saying, is sure the Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows you. He formed you. He gifted you. The rest is up to you. I've got to recognize that gifting. I've got to accept it, receive it, and purpose to walk in it. But I'm getting off track here. But we get this idea that, you know, we're waiting on this calling, this specific calling. And so there's people, I have friends, people, acquaintances, who feel like they're called of God, but they're floundering around. And I don't believe they've ever operated in the true gifting and authority that God has given them. Because they're operating by a human, they're operating off of human authority that's been given them. In our workplaces, we all have people that are in charge that nobody listens to. Right? Somebody made them the boss. But everybody figures out how they can go around them to the people they have dashed lines to on the flow chart to get what they want. It ought not to be that way in the kingdom of God, but you ought to operate in the authority that God has given you. When he said, you shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover, that's your authority. That was given you as a believer, a child of God. They shall tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. That's your authority. I wonder sometimes if people sit in their house and, oh, devil, you just wait till I get to church and tell the pastor on you. I'm going to tell my bishop what you've been doing to me this week, and he's going to take authority over you. That's your authority. You exercise it. God gave it to you. Don't sit back and say, well, you know, I'm just a lowly person of God here, just a saint in the kingdom, just happy to be saved. While the enemy steamrolls us, it's your authority. It's your gifting. Exercise it. Operate in it. One more verse. This wonderful iOS, meant for iPhone 7s, not for iPhone 6s. Galatians chapter 2, verse 6, New Living Translation again. And the leaders of the church had nothing to add to what I was preaching. By the way, their reputation as great leaders made no difference to me. For God has no favorites. I know these aren't things we typically talk about on Sunday mornings. Some of us may not be awake enough to process all this on a Sunday morning. This is Paul comfortable in his God-given role in the kingdom of God. And okay with the fact that there were men in these places. I don't know if you even call them congregations. They were meetings. They were Bible studies. They were in houses and places all over these cities and regions. that were daily, weekly, monthly, yearly ministering into the lives of these people and no doubt powerful ministries and imparted powerful revelation, understanding of God into these people. And now Paul's writing, and they haven't seen him in 2 years. And it's as if the Lord was truly adding unto the church daily such as needed to be saved, according to the book of Acts. There were people who had never even met Paul. And here he is writing letters saying, you need to stop sleeping with your girlfriend. You need to stop messing around with your dad's wife. You need to stop. And they're like, who's this Paul guy? I think he is. And he just drops us in there and says, listen, God doesn't have any favorites. He doesn't like me more than he likes him, more than he likes him, or more than he likes him. He's gifted Mel Berglund, and he's gifted Nathan Heiner, and he's gifted Caleb Flowers and Mark Kendrick and Miko. The list goes on and on and on and on. He doesn't have a favorite. He doesn't say, well, now that Mel guy, whew, here is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. That's not how he works. But we become at times so intimidated around each other. Well, you know, I'm not going to minister if Bishop's in the room today. Don't call on me when Brother Kendrick's here because this is how we get, this is our humanity. This is the human piece that I was talking about in the beginning that we have problems shifting in and out of. Don't ask me to do music when so-and-so's here. Don't ask me to be involved with, don't ask me to teach Sunday school if Sister Fisher's going to set in. These are the things that we battle in our mind when the Holy Ghost has gifted you. He's given you authority. Operate in it. Yes. Paul's saying, listen, God doesn't have favorites. I'm going to say what the Holy Ghost has given me to say. I'm going to put it in writing. I'm going to send it to you. If you don't like it, so be it. Just know that I'm an apostle, not because you said I'm an apostle, but because the Holy Ghost made me an apostle. And he has given me oversight over you. And the quicker you figure that out, the better. I just put that in 21st century speak, but that's what he was saying. Oh, and we're all part of the same body. We're all a part of the same kingdom. Go back and look at Paul's conversion and the way the Lord revealed himself to him on the road to Damascus. And then the direction that he gave and the word that came and the hands that were laid on him and the things that were spoken over him. I'm telling you what. We need a baptism of Holy Ghost confidence, not flesh confidence, not human pride. We need a baptism of Holy Ghost confidence that in whatever state we are, whatever situation that we're in, that we operate in the authority of the Holy Ghost. There's a difference. There's a difference between people who get up and got, you know, they can have something to say, you know, they can have a good word. They can even be anointed. And I'm afraid we put too much emphasis on anointing and not enough emphasis on authority. When somebody gets up and they speak with authority, not their authority, the authority of the Holy Ghost, it is refreshing to my soul. Amen. When somebody gets up and it's unassuming. They just begin to speak. All they do is take the mic and begin to pray. And there's such an authority in their prayer that it just brings a resolve to the entire room. The room can be in chaos. There can be spiritual chaos going on. And this guy's been in the mic and he's had this to say. And this guy's been in the mic. It just doesn't happen here. These are situations I've been a part of. And then somebody takes the mic and begins to pray or begins to just say something. They could say something as simple as, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The authority of the Holy Ghost brings peace. It speaks peace into a room. So God doesn't have any favorites. He doesn't favor one of you over the other. He's gifted all of you individually for his purpose, for his kingdom. Would you pray with me right now in the name of Jesus? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Not my will, Father, but thine be done in Jesus' name. Not what I want, Father, but what you want for my life in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I'm coming to a close, whoever's going to be on the piano, but I want to add one more thing. Paul starts to address this idea of God having favorites. I want to read a couple of scriptures to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Can you go to 1 Corinthians 3:21 in the New Living Translation? I don't want anyone to think that I'm making this up. This is Paul writing to the church. He says, don't take pride in following a particular leader. Everything belongs to you. This version of the New Living Translation that I copied, it says, don't boast about following a particular human leader, for everything belongs to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Peter or the world or life and death or the present and the future. Everything belongs to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Jumping ahead to chapter 4, verse 6. He writes there, dear brothers and sisters, I have used Apollos and myself to illustrate what I've been saying. If you pay attention to what I've quoted from the scriptures, you won't be proud of one of your leaders at the expense of another. Can we have a piece of steak for a second? Whether I say it out loud or in my spirit, you know, I sure prefer when Brother Johnstone speaks. You know, those other guys are okay. Boy, I sure prefer when Bishop's here. Those other guys are okay, but... Now, I'm not saying anybody ever says that out loud. But these are things that Paul's addressing in our spirit. These are things about giftings and authorities and who God... This is not about who I choose. Remember what he said, Galatians chapter 1. I didn't pick this. No human authority. The Holy Ghost did this. But these are things in our humanity that Paul starts to address. God doesn't have favorites. And don't, at the expense of somebody else, attach yourself to somebody and say, I'm a Kendrickite. I know nobody ever says that out loud, but we let that stuff into our spirit sometimes. Do we really have to suffer through this? Do we really have to? The Holy Ghost is wanting to use individuals in the body of Christ. And when somebody, there are times that I'm praying, I'm waiting, and Bishop comes to me and says, I want you to call on so-and-so today. And when that happens, I'm sitting in that front row or I'm back there with my kids and my ears are wide open, because obviously the Holy Ghost has got something it wants to say today through person A. and I'm person B, C, D, or E that day, and I'm here to receive. My spiritual antennas are up, and I want to know, what is it, Holy Ghost, that you want to say to me today? We get so caught up in judging the person. Well, that person, you know, they just, it doesn't flow as well for them, or not, you know, he doesn't have a PowerPoint, or he doesn't have, and we judge and we classify. This is really bad. I had a friend who went to a church and they published 40 days ahead of time everybody who was going to speak every service, and people picked and choose which services they came to based on who was speaking. It was on the church calendar. This is the things that Paul's addressing. If this stuff wasn't real, it wouldn't be in the book. He says, God doesn't have any favorites. He chooses who he chooses in the moment. He gifts for that. Can we stand? I hope that somehow through all of this, I said all of this today, not to be, I hope it didn't come across as accusatory, but I feel like the Holy Ghost is wanting to help gifted individuals in the room to understand that that's what you feel is Him, that's His authority upon you, that your gifting is needed in the body, in prayer, in intercession, in ministry, in music, in worship. He's gifted you specifically for this purpose, for this hour, for this congregation. And He's wanting to use you. So stop discounting yourself. Stop saying, well, I'm not so-and-so, or I'm not this, or I'm not that. He will gift, and He will open doors. He will show you what it is that you're supposed to be doing. Can you talk to the Lord one more time? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Say the name of Jesus. I acknowledge with my own mouth today, Father, the giftings of the Holy Ghost that are at work in my life. I acknowledge those today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I'm guessing that when Paul wrote to Timothy, his two letters, encouraging him, trying to get him to be the leader that he had left him to be, when he said things like, when I see the unfeigned faith that is in you, that was also in your mother and in your grandmother Lois, and I'm challenging you to stir up the gift of God that I know is in you. He was implying that, yeah, you're there. You're doing what I asked you to do, but there are giftings that are in you that the Holy Ghost put there. You go back into the end of 1 Timothy chapter, or the end of the first book of Timothy. And he says, I was there. The presbytery laid hands on you, and those giftings were imparted to you. Then in he starts the second chapter off by saying, you need to stir those things up. Stir them up within you. Would you let the Holy Ghost stir things up in you today that He's put there? You can't create it. You can't make it happen. But the Holy Ghost, He and only He can stir up what He put there. What He has put in your spirit, He has the ability to stir up. Would you let Him do that right now? Do you have the faith to believe that He wants to do that right now? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. This altar's open if you want to come talk to the Lord. Please, please let the Holy Ghost stir up within you today what He's put there. What He's imparted to you, let Him stir it up today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Withholding nothing.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.